Hello, everybody. This is Richie from the Metal Cell podcast. I am delighted to welcome my usual co-host, Joe of Gamma Bomb. How are you, Joe?
Well, what's the crack?
All good, my friend. And we have two of the lads from Psychosis, Tom, the drummer, and Grant, the guitarist and singer. Thanks a million for coming on, lads. So how are you all doing?
Yeah, pretty good.
Doing well, man. As well as can be, like, during these hard times.
True. But crucially, both of you are producing really good music. And we will hear more from that in the minute. But I suppose we'll just go to Joe first, because Joe's band have been more active in the last month or so. That's 2 months, really, Joe, hasn't it?
What have we been doing? Oh, right, yeah, I suppose we've had a couple of singles out and stuff like that in the lead-up. An album coming out in December. So
yeah, it's Sea Savage. What did you think of it, Grant and Tom? You probably heard the first single anyway, definitely. Did you?
Pretty good stuff, man, yeah.
Yeah. Who played drums on it? Was it James Stewart who played on it?
Yeah.
He's a wicked drummer. He's really good.
He's deadly. And he's a really nice guy as well. We were originally talking to your man from Overkill and Flotsam and Jetsam about doing that. Yeah, because he does that as well. He does like fucking gun for hire kind of crack. And just because of the nature of the lockdown and stuff, we don't have a drummer at the minute, but we knew we had to get someone in to do it remotely. And we sent Jason a message being all like, well, do you want to do this? And like, didn't hear back from him. And then once we'd confirmed James, Jason got back to us and was like, well, I'd love to do it. And we're like,
oh, that's okay. Well, I remember watching, I think it was like Vader had played in Vicar Street or something, and he's playing, I think he is Vader's drummer, isn't he? Mm. Yeah. And I remember just being like glued to him like the whole time, and I was just watching him like jaw on the floor, like, I can't even think that fast. You know what I mean? He's just an absolute machine. And I think I've seen him again with I've definitely seen him with Divine Chaos.
Yep.
And I've seen him with Decapitated as well. He's just an absolute beast of a drummer. Like, he's so good. So I think he serves really well. Like,
so because we're like, oh right, we need to start getting into rehearsals or auditions and all. But it looks like there's not going to be any gigs. We might be going back to make another album before there's any sign of fucking anything. Like,
The lockdown sessions. Like,
he got the filming of the lighthouse and all that, Joe. You got that done earlier in the year, did you?
Yeah, like in September. But the guys who did that were really dead sound. Where I am here in like Carlingford, there's a lighthouse out in the lock and we wanted to use it. But you just basically, you contact the Irish Commission of Lights and they assign you a lighthouse. So they told us to go up to Donegal and the wee man up there was unbelievably sound. So it was
did he live in it?
In the classic, just going to anywhere, there'd be some man there being all like, oh, I saw Anthrax in 1987, in the SFX. And you're like, yo.
Really?
Yeah.
Fuck me. That's mad.
There's always that one dude. It's like meeting people at the airport.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
the single then, Joe, after that is out now. It's called Sheer Can't, isn't it?
Sheer Can.
I always put Can't there. Shout out to Strangers with Guns. That single called Can't, great single. But yeah, Sheer Can, and I love the video as well. Really cool lyric video as well. All 80s arcade games and
80s. Yeah, the whole kind of tunes wee bit slow. Like, we've never really had a song that slow before, so it was cool kind of doing something a bit more, I don't know, like Saxony or something like that. And it's about the Tiger King, so you can't really go wrong with that, like,
I was thinking, was it about the Tiger King, actually?
Yeah. this girl that she's like a mate of the band's, and she lives over in fucking Cardiff or something, but she went and worked for your woman Carol Bastian for a while, and she was telling us about how nuts she was years ago. This unfortunately, like, as a weird coincidence, this was at the same gig. We didn't have our backdrop, but it's like 2014. And like, they're like, oh, what do you want to project up behind the band while you're doing the gig? And we're like, oh, I know, let's put like a big massive picture of Bill Cosby up. Look. And so we did like a massive picture of Cosby. And then like a couple of months later, he obviously got done for We spent the ages trying to walk, go around the internet being like, could you take that picture down or could you take that video down?
Can you erase all the footage from that gig, please?
Fucking classic, Joe. Jesus Christ. We're going to give it a spin, Joe. This one, it's another exclusive, and it's called She's Not My Mother, Todd. Can you give us a quick idea of the song or how it came about?
It's just Terminator 2. You know, John Connor doesn't like his foster parents, so that's what the song's about, is just being John Connor and telling your foster parents to piss off and flicking your hair to the one side and that.
Okay, let's give it a go then, and we'll see what you think. As I said, an exclusive to the show, and thanks a million, Joe, for thinking of us. Hey, to now fuck you, you're not my real mom, and you can tell me what to do. I will skate and run and smoke and do all sorts of IT dope. I don't need you ragging on me, I don't respect authority. Heavy weapons, drug direction is the right for me. Hey, don't you dick, how come you can smoke the fag and not for room and I get sued up for doing dick? I may sound dead, but I'm a man to fraud an ATM, no brand control. Get in my face, I kick your hoe. That's the job, man. It's pretty punky as well, isn't it?
It is. Yeah. We got that real kind of punk, hardcore kind of edge to it. Like, sounds like
real different to what you normally do, though. You know,
and that's what it is, man. Having a different kind of drummer and stuff means we can sort of try different stuff that usually Paul would be all like, "No, you're not allowed to do that." Yeah, not better or for worse.
Oh, lads, fucking drummers, eh?
Yeah. Can't be at them.
Stop. One other thing. There's Christmas jumpers for sale as well, Joe, before we move on to Psychosis.
Yep, as usual. There's shitty Christmas jumper that'll probably arrive in the middle of January.
The yearly Gamma Bomb jumper, like.
Yep.
I bought actually a cool baseball t-shirt off you there tonight as well. Really like it. Oh, white one.
Thank you very much, dude.
Yeah, it's really nice. So... yeah, and let's go on to Psychosis, lads. You have a new album in the bag, and it's ready to rock, but you're not going to release anything yet as we speak. Would that be fair enough assessment? Are you?
Yeah, so we have like a couple of more songs to put on it, okay. Just because it's sitting on the back burner. Mm-hmm. But we're just trying to wait till we can go back into the studio and rehearse a little bit more and get the songs down, but... we have them pretty much ready to go now, like.
Yeah, okay. And we've got some like artwork and stuff done as well, and like the booklet design and all that kind of crack. So
it's just a matter of right.
Yeah, it's just a matter now of kind of like just getting back in and getting the rest of the songs done. So
really love the tune you did last year, "Toss to the Dogs."
Oh, what a fucking
wicked
track.
Man! proper, like, it kind of sounded like fucking German-Irish thrash, you know?
Really good. That's, when I joined the band, I think that's one of the first tracks that's one of the first riffs you showed me, I think, was the riff for Toss.
Yeah, it was, yeah. That was the new one kind of coming.
Yeah, so I'm actually happy with how that turned out. Michael did a great job.
Yeah, the like material that we have on the new album is it's a lot different. It's a lot heavier and it's a lot more technical. Like, you know what I mean?
You went with Mick Richards, lads, and you had I presume you'd your pick. Was it just handy that Mick was in Dublin, or did you look at going elsewhere?
We put up a status on our Facebook page saying that, like, oh, would anybody, like, we're gearing up to do a second album. Would anybody throw some suggestions into this comment section to who, you know, like, for good, like, producers or whatever? Mm. And Mick's name came up a lot, and then he got onto us directly. And this is like 2018 now that I'm talking about. And he got onto us and he was like, "How are you, lads? I'll give you a free day in the studio if you want. You can come, two of you can come out, do it. I'll give you a free day, free song, just to see what you think." And me and Grant went out and did a track. And I think we were fairly happy with that first track, weren't we? I think it was hard the one we did.
Yeah. It was hard, yeah. And then we came back and we were kind of listening to it. And then we booked into the studio. And then I think we were practicing the night before. And we were like, for just a weird thing, do you want to just drop us down to D standard? Because we were normally always playing an E standard. And we're just like, holy fuck. So we just made a last minute decision and the whole album's in D standard now. So it just sounds a lot more heavier and punchier. Like,
yeah. And even the material on the first album sounds really heavy as well. Mm. With that tuning. So
yeah,
it's just sounding good.
Like, were you thinking of including Rats at any stage, or had you just decided to move?
I don't think Rats really had time to do it.
I don't know.
Because he seemed very busy with, like, we didn't really ask him, but we just know he's been on tour with a lot of really big bands. And
yeah, he's been out with Discarnate doing sound for them as well. So.
Yeah, so we kind of wanted to get it done fast. And I wouldn't say he'd be ready to do it, you know? So we just went with Michael Richards, like, and we're glad we did because it turned out really well, like, you know? Did a great job.
He did the animator EP, didn't he? It was wicked.
Yeah. He did, yeah. I think he did one of them.
Ryan mixed that.
Did the other one. Sorry?
Did Ryan mix that? The Venom Within. Did they record it in Track Mix and then Ryan mix it himself?
I'm not sure.
Oh, yeah.
I think that might have been what they did.
Yeah.
So, but now, because we were talking about, like, maybe we can just record it in Track Mix and then take the tracks to get, like, mixed or mastered elsewhere, and then listening back to the tracks, we were kind of like, actually no, like, the track mix sounds actually fairly good, like, so we just kept it at that, like.
Yeah,
cool. Okay, we're going to give it a blast. This one is called Insanitized. And anything you want to add before I play it? What's the thought process behind it, lyrically wise? Or
it's if you can imagine, like, Don't Fear the Reaper, okay? Do you know the way there's, like, different parts in it, and then, like, halfway through is there's that weird fucked up part that it's like the Reaper coming, and then it kind of fades away. Sort of like a story through it. It's someone at the start who is getting medicated and thrown into an insane asylum. It sounds kind of cliche, but it happened a lot back in the day. And basically, yeah, the doctors and all are telling him he's crazy, and he's kind of battling out with him. But then near the end, there's like a guitar solo where it's like kind of two top processes going on at the same time, and it's kind of breaking them, slowly breaking them. But yeah, I don't even know if I'm making sense, but go for it, play it.
Cut!
Fucking hell. That is a tune and a half, lads.
Before the track started, I was mentioning that like me and Grant, we wrote it almost like telepathically because it came together in about 15, 20 minutes. And they were all, I think, Grant, were they all riffs that you originally had for like different songs or something?
Oh man, I can't even remember.
I think there was a couple of riffs in the song that were like meant to be for like other songs that we were writing. But
imagine hearing that live. That is going to be a fucking killer live song.
Cheers, man.
Listen, man. It definitely sounds like it sounds hugely like it's hugely different from the first album. Like it's such a big step up, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. That's what we were thinking when we first heard it back. Like, you know, but it's just like the music that we're making is just getting like better and better over the years. So,
how did you find moving down a step? For your vocals, like, because the vocals that's already pretty fucking high, like, you know.
That's the thing. Like, I was singing in a different key when we were playing in E, and the lower we go, the higher I get. So like, so it was hard at the start, but like, you know, kind of came together after a few shows. Wait, or whatever.
It kind of sounds like Artillery, you know, the band Inheritance. It's got that kind of vibe vocally and even kind of technically and stuff, you know.
There's a lot going on with it, man. You'd have to listen to it a few times. Fucking hell.
Yeah, there's a lot in it, yeah. But it's cool.
Guitar work is fucking brilliant as well in that section that you said, and then following on the leads as well.
Yeah, it kind of plays out a story, but like, really cool.
Who did you do all the leads, Grant, or? Yeah?
Yeah, I did, yeah.
Fucking hell. Class, man.
Yeah.
And
And Adam O'Reilly Adam Tracy played the middle solo part in the solo.
Oh, very good. So at the moment, what's the story with you member-wise? Are you three-piece?
At the minute, yeah. We're kind of taking, like, we have a guitar player now, sort of, but I can't really say who it is or anything like that yet.
Okay.
But it's sounding pretty well so far anyway, before lockdown started, so.
So what was the deal then? Take us through how you've got from first album lineup to where we are now, kind of like.
Fuck.
Man, Joel.
Good question. Do you want to take it, Tom?
The lads asked me to join in 2016?
Yeah.
Around May 2016. Sam stepped off because he was just like he'd gotten married and he had a like, job and he had a kid on the way and all this kind of crack, so he just couldn't do it anymore. So I came in, and
was
then
the album recorded at that stage, Tom?
Yeah, the album was finished and done. And the lads were like, okay, you need to, they hadn't been released yet, so the lads were like, learn all of this and then learn like the other songs that aren't on the album. So learn like, what were the other songs? Like Mutant Mass, General Waste, Beat Season, and then like a couple of others. So they were like, all right, learn all this crack. And I was like, all right, I will. And then that took us up until, I think that took us up until like 2017. And then those Diamond Head shows, the ones that Tony couldn't do. Like, yeah, Tony had hurt his hand or something like that.
Yeah. So we needed a fill-in guitar player. So we got Adam Tracy in for 2-3 years, was it? He played a good few shows with us.
I was telling Richie earlier that he played some of the best shows we played were ones we played with Adam.
Yeah. Was he with you when you went to Europe and stuff and did all that kind of stuff? Or?
Yeah. So those 3 Belgian dates that we did with Adam. And then like we did like The Siege and we did Lost Society, we did Second Reich, Assemble. So there was a few like good shows that we played with him. That was 2017 up until like a couple of months ago.
Had enough of yous.
Do you want to answer?
No. Like,
these are being incredibly diplomatic, boys.
Yeah.
No, it just don't really want to get into it, to be honest. But it was grand. Like we're kind of looking for something else. You know what I mean? Mm.
Like Tony played Bloodstock with you, didn't he?
Oh yeah, Tony was in the band for fucking 5-6 years, maybe.
Yeah.
But yeah,
we hadn't played with Tony since 2017.
Bob, is that Tom?
Oh, sorry. But I was saying, like, we haven't been Tony kind of like once Adam came in, like, and then Tony just he started his own business and all this kind of stuff, so okay. He didn't have time for it anymore. Like,
yeah, some interesting changes there. All right. So at the moment, as you said, you're a three piece with potentially another member to be announced yet.
Yeah. We just need to get a few more rehearsals in because,
which is a problem at the moment, obviously.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
exactly. So,
how many tracks have you done? You needn't actually name the tracks, but how many in number have you done with Mick at the moment? What are you looking at? Have you plan made out for the album? Like, is there going to be 9 tracks? Or
I think there's going to be about 8 or 9 tracks, isn't there?
I think so. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, we have five recorded and fully done now, and then I think we're going in to do another three or four. We definitely have a three, and if we can squeeze one more in, then 100%, then yeah.
Right. And Liam is playing bass on it at the moment, is it?
Yeah, Liam from Creep, the local band. He's doing a fantastic job. He's an amazing guitar player as it is, but like he's just, you know, sending over riffs, even though he plays bass, just giving us really good ideas and stuff like that. So I'm really glad we got him in.
His tone on the recording there of the last tune sounded wicked, man. Really, really
good.
The bass on the last song.
He didn't actually record on the album. I did the bass and the guitars and stuff like that. So he's played all live shows with us, though.
Cool. And what was the crack then? Was the same sort of thing with Jay? Did he just stop doing the bass because you're busy with life and just the usual kind of stuff, was it?
Pretty much, yeah, yeah. He's,
I think he was Dublin just matches.
Yeah, he loves Ga more than track metal now.
He does himself.
But yeah, no, he kind of just had enough of it, sort of. His heart's not really in it anymore, but like, you know, he had a good time for what he was in it. Yeah. Still loves the band, yeah.
It's, you know what, man, it's so like we had exactly the same thing when we did our first album. It's like once you start going to England or doing things, it slowly becomes apparent whenever people can't do that, or you know, they would way rather, you know, be doing whatever else. So it is a good idea just sort of forging ahead and saying, right, fuck it, well, I'll be the bass player.
You don't want to kick like a dead horse when it's down or anything like that. You might as well just rifle on, like. And sometimes it's for the best, like, you know.
Jesus, lads. I mean, judging by that track, it's the correct decision, you know?
Yeah. Thanks. Hell.
Yeah.
No, that is super.
Same kind of thing with you, Tom. Like, none of this sort of stuff without Knock and Shane would really be possible, you know, in terms of drumming-wise and stuff, yeah. You know, yeah. In this direction if he was still playing.
Shane was a guy, like, I mean, I love Shane. He's just one of the best dudes in the scene, like, but even as a drummer as well, he's just an incredibly good drummer. So I took a lot of kind of like, he inspired me a lot to kind of like fucking, you know, even like when I was younger, when I met him first, and he was like, oh, keep going, keep playing, man, you're good. Like, so he gave me a lot of encouragement, like, yeah. And even with, like, when I went Saint Slaughter, we're still like kind of like starting out and like pushing ahead and shit, so he was even coming to shows and stuff saying, man, you're really fucking good. Like, so I appreciate whenever the lads were looking for a new drummer, he was like, okay, get this guy because I know he's good. Like, it meant a lot to me. Like, you know,
I have a good question for you. When did Nuclear Assault, Gamma Bomb, Psychosis, and Animator play? What year and what month?
21st of July to 2015.
2015, was it? I was going to say 2016.
Well, 21st, so it was.
How the fuck, Joe?
It was a year anniversary of my dad dying, so I remember.
Ah, okay. Fair enough.
I didn't know if I wanted to go and do the gig or not, but it was like,
really, yeah,
and do it. Yeah, well, went out for dinner and went, like, did a mass and stuff in the morning and stuff, and then it was just like, right, I'm gonna go down and play. Like, whenever we started out, donks ago and stuff, Nuclear Assault played in Dublin 2004 or something like that. Mm-hmm. And we didn't get on the bill and we're all devastated about it at the time, so we're like, right, but definitely at least play one gig with them somewhere, you know.
Yeah.
Who did get on the bill? Who did get on the bill?
Mass Extinction.
Back in the day, it was this clown themed thrash band called Carnival Creation from Dublin, and Mass Extinction, and Mass Extinction totally blew Nuclear Assault away. They were really, really,
oh, really?
Yeah, Nuclear Assault were awful that night.
Were Moral Crusade still going back then?
No, they kind of quit in the early, whatever, 91 or whatever, and that really? Made people to be tempted out of retirement as of yet.
They were great.
Yeah, their album was wicked. Really, really, really good.
Really good.
What do you remember, lads, playing that gig in particular, Nuclear Assault, Gamma Bomb, and Animator? Like,
it was so much fun.
Yeah.
So much fun. Just the gig itself was just so sweaty. People were just fucking climbing on top of each other. And then the backstage was just hotbox of bits. Everybody's just fucking having a good time. And, you know, it was just really, really fun. Like, it was a savage night. I think it was the next day Metal Days was happening. So me and Jay had to go home, sleep for 30 minutes, and then get on 7 planes to fucking Slovenia.
Fucking hell. Which one of you went wandering actually for Metal Days and fell down a canyon or something, is it? Or is that you, Grant?
Yeah.
Ah, class. Tell the story. It's a great story, man.
Oh, fuck. So we arrived 5 o'clock or something, and we're all right, we'll just set up the tents, go get some food, get some drinks, and kind of have an easy day before we go and play at 1 o'clock tomorrow. At Metal Days, probably one of our biggest shows. So the lads were right, just don't get too fucked up tonight. And I was all right, whatever. I think I was in the early 20s or whatever. So I was a kid in the candy store. So Hyrax were playing at, 4 o'clock in the morning or something ridiculous like that. Jesus. So I was I'll stay up for Hyrax. But I met these people, and I was blah, 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 blah. I got fucking pissed out of my tits, and went to walk home, and I was talking to this girl on the way, and she goes, all right, well, good night. And I was all right, see you, good night. And I walked the other way. And have you guys ever been in Slovenia?
Yep.
No.
Yeah, it's just Metal Days is just forest as far as the eye can see, and then a tiny little town. But I was all right, see you. And she's well, your tent's over there. And I was oh, no, it's not. And then all she remembers is me just walking into the woods. So I start walking and walking and walking. I actually felt at one point I blacked out, and then I woke up and I was still walking. So I was shit, I'm fucking miles away from where I have to go. So I start hearing this music in the trees. This is fucking 3 o'clock in the morning or something. I start hearing this music in the trees, and I was oh, sweet, I'll follow the music and I'll get back to the Metal Days. So I start walking towards it, and I eventually come to these houses that is down this cliff, probably about a 60-foot drop. And I was oh, sweet, there's a house party in here. I'm going to fucking go in here. It'd be sweet. I'll leave in about 2 hours, get back to the tents, have a bit of sleep, and then I'll be on my way to play the gig tomorrow. So I start making my way down this cliff, holding onto these trees, and it's fucking 30 degrees, even more over in Slovenia. It's fucking dead heat. So I start moving on these trees, and all of a sudden one of the trees uprooted, and I just start rolling. Rolling to a point of gathering so much momentum that when I roll, I catch air for about 3 or 4 seconds. So I'm rolling. I'm so burned up on the way. Each hit, I'm fuck, hitting a rock, hitting a thorn bush, hitting a rock. And then then all of a sudden I just hit the ground, get up. I rub my head, my hands fucking wet and shit. And I was oh, it's probably just wet from the mud or whatever. So I get up and I walk a good bit more, and I get to a fence. And a security guard is there, and he's you're all right. And I was oh, I'm playing tomorrow. Can you let me in? And I think I hurt myself. And he looks at me for a second. He's holy shit, you're right. And I take my hand down from my hair, and my hand is just covered in blood, pools of blood, just piss out of my hand. Fuck. Oh, Jesus, it's such a long story, man. But I get to the med tent, and they're laying me down on the table, and they're shit, you got to go get stitches. We need to bring you to a hospital. And I was I'm not going to a hospital, man. I'm playing this fucking gig tomorrow. They're and then I'm just lying there for a minute, and they're I start getting real paranoid, thinking that they're laughing at me or something. And I stood up, and I can't remember what I said. I was just fuck the tears. You should be ashamed of yourselves or whatever. So walk back up to the tent. As fucked up as I am, I have the bandage around my head and everything. It's cut to pieces, but from the thorn bush. And I go to climb into my tent, and Jay's sleeping in there. And I go, Jay, and I start fucking rubbing his leg, and I'm like touching him. He's like, Jay, wake up. I've been in an accident. And he just wakes up, opens one eye, and just kicks me straight in the face. And I go, I pass out, pass the fuck out. It completely KO'd me. Like, and
what a mess.
So I wake up in the morning, the sun beaming down, and I get up and I'm looking around and I can't see the lads anywhere. I just see bloody bandages all over the place. I'm still in bits, cut to pieces. And I'm looking around panicking. I'm like, shit, did they play as a tree feast with like just an instrumental set or something? And I just see them coming up in the distance. And I was like, where the fuck are you guys? And they're like, oh, we went to get breakfast. And I was like, so you wake up, look at me, covered in blood and fucking everything like that, and just step over me and go get breakfast. Like, yeah, pretty much, grab a guitar, run in fucking half an hour. So
fucking classic, man. Yeah. Jesus Christ.
Yeah. It's fucking, I still have a massive scar in the back of my head. Like, it's fucking some gash, like, but I just never went to the hospital. Like, when I got home at the time, though, I fucking got in the door, and my girlfriend at the time, she was like, I think you need to change the bandages on the back of your head. I was like, why? I could smell it.
Oh, Jesus Christ almighty.
That was fucking horrible.
Thanks, horrible.
Yeah.
That's metal days, huh? Fucking hell.
Yeah.
You've played at Joe how many times? Once or twice?
No, just once, man. But
enjoyed?
Great old crack. Got very, very drunk indeed. And fucking just similar debauchery, but no scars, unfortunately. So,
do we only play together once?
No. Like, we've definitely played in Fibbers with you guys and stuff, haven't we?
Yeah, I think we've played a couple of shows, yeah.
Like, in the Fibs.
I remember a classic there. I was just going through Facebook memories, and I'm relying on you, Grant, now to help me with this one. But it's definitely Creator. In the
academy. Oh yeah,
and I didn't know Grant at all at the time, but we were looking at pictures after the gig. Did Evil support them that night?
Evil did. Yeah,
yeah, Evil. I met Ben Joe that night. I was talking to him. I had actually a picture with him as well. But anyway, so there's these pictures of us all outside, fucking twisted, standing, staggering, and in one of the pictures, fucking Grant photobombed us. Isn't that right? It was just like, fucking hell, that's Grant.
That was a savage gig, though.
Oh man, brilliant.
First time seeing Creator.
Yeah, I've seen him a few times before that, like, but every time, man, they bring it, don't they? Every time.
Quality live band. Quality live band.
Fucking yeah.
I think we had Vicar Street as well. They played Vicar Street as well, didn't they?
Yep.
That was only maybe 2 years ago as well.
Yeah, I think so. I've seen them play. Was that the time they played with Sepultura?
Yes.
Yeah, I was at that gig. And then there was one in the Academy as well that I can't remember who opened for them.
Zendrix, wasn't it?
I think it could have been Zendrix. Yeah.
So
Zendrix was one. I think I saw them with Archenemy as well.
Right. They do get about a lot now, man. They're one of those bands that's kind of insane. Like, whenever you go and see them, most of the whole set is their like stuff from the 2000s onwards. Like, you know, out of all those old bands, they've definitely done the best job of kind of, I think a lot of their fans really, really love the new stuff, you know, like whenever they do all the kind of, it's not like that. I don't even think they do like 5 or 6 80 songs anymore. It's just like People of the Lie, you know, Flag of Hate,
that's about it.
Yeah, People of the Lie. I've seen them a couple of times play Extreme Aggression.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then lost my shit immediately afterwards because it's my favourite Creator song.
But they're very faithful to Ireland, Creator.
Yeah.
A lot of the German bands are, to be fair. They love Ireland.
I don't know if you remember, like back in whenever they did Violent Revolution, they came to Ireland like 3 times. So they did. And like they were filling him and Dorns and Whelans. And then they played in Belfast to like fucking 10 people. And played Derry to 10 people and all that sort of shit. Like, so.
Yeah, I think because they didn't play Ireland for years, like, or something, because something happened with I don't know, I haven't, but they just hadn't played. And but the last time was in Eamon Dorans or something, wasn't it?
I remember Eamon Dorans. That was in Temple Bar, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I seem to remember the crack was, it was that they'd gone there, kind of same as like whatever, like Xantrix, Rossid Rain, that came and did really well and then kind of came back too many times or whatever. So,
yeah.
Like, see back then in 2003, man, like, loads of those bands, like, I remember going to see Exodus loads of times in England and there'd be nobody at the gigs, you know, just because Thrash wasn't really back in, you know, in this game kind of way.
There was
a few years later. Yeah.
That's mad.
I think that's the same thing I think can be said for, like, I think it's dangerous for local bands. It's going to play as much as you can, but, like, if you're the type of band that's playing every single weekend or, like, every month or whatever, you're going to be, like, less and less toured out at your gigs because, like, people are going to be like, oh, I can see them next month or, like, this week or whatever.
Any European trash act or American trash act that rolls into Dublin, the expectation is that you'll be added to the gig, but, I mean, you've been very successful in getting supports, but how difficult is it to get on those?
I mean, if there's local support, if it comes up where H is like, or whoever's promoting the gig is like, oh, there's local support, go and throw your name at the hat.
Mm.
And then at that point, it's like whoever gets it. So,
yeah. You have been very successful. I mean, like, there's been loads of, like, Sacred Reich, Trivium, Sodom, Onslaught, Mod, DRI.
The good thing about that, though, man, is it's like part of the reason why psychos, people like H and Sodom, you know. When there's bands like where you give them a good opportunity, they might just arrive completely pissed, you know, with one symbol or whatever, you know. So
yeah, true.
Yeah, I mean, as a live entity, you're fucking top class. Like, there's no doubt about it, lads, and that's to your credit. You obviously prefer playing live than being stuck in studios.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, we have since day one. Like, you know what I mean? Just I don't know. It just suits certain bands.
Yeah,
I feel anyway. It's a lot more fun anyway as well, because you can't just keep listening over and being like, "Oh, we'll change that," because it's kind of getting like that, you know.
What about G Joe in relation to playing live and studio? No substitute for playing live.
I kind of prefer the creative part of it. Like, I prefer writing songs. Like, definitely like gigging and stuff. But I think it's one of those things. Like anything, man, it's like everyone loves going on the rip and getting pissed until you've been doing it for like 10 days and then you're like, oh fuck, I'm wrecked, you know.
Yeah.
Especially whenever you're old, you know, you young bucks, like, plenty of drinking juice left in the tank, like, you know.
I mean, that goes back to as well about like playing like support slots for like if it's a DME gig or we're playing like we're opening for like whatever band it may be and like the Voodoo Lounge or the Academy or whatever, like there is that element of like maintaining, like you do have to maintain like a certain level of kind of like professionalism to make sure that, like, you know, if you want to be asked again to open certain bands, you kind of have to be like, you carry yourself with at least a little bit of professionalism. You don't want to like piss hate off or whoever the promoter is.
Well, there's a band when we started out from like Newry called Existent Threat, and they were kind of like a death metal band, and they got offered to do like Obituary or something like that, and they didn't get offered gigs just as they were pestering Obituary, you know, and going on like fanboys and shit. Like, again, that's probably part of it, is like being sort of semi-professional, you know. That's it, look, you know. And also that you guys are a good band. It's not as if they're just like, let's get Psychosis to do it because they're not going to set the place on fire, you know.
ripping things out of the walls and shit. Like,
yeah.
I remember they used to do that in the Pint in fucking Dublin. Do you remember that?
I remember the Pint.
I think they got a punk or a hardcore band in or something like that. And we were playing the next day. There's a gig on, and there's obviously a gig on the night before. And Rats was just fucking going mad when we got there. And he was saying that they like shit and fucking pissed and spray painted like the bathroom and stuff like that. It's just like, what the fuck is going on? Who the fuck does that anymore? But yeah, there's just shit and all everywhere. Mm. It was ripped to play.
We played with Tanker in the Voodoo Lounge years ago. just talking to the bass player at the Tankard, and he just got his dick out and started pissing in the middle of the fucking room, like on the sofa, like, like, you know, giving us advice at the same time. He's completely pissed, pulling his pipe. You want to be like thrash superstars like us, and then like drop his pipe on the ground and smash, and he's just like, didn't even notice. You're know? Like, yeah, let's do this. Let's go on in this moment. Nice and
strange. Can you imagine fucking the likes of he trying that, we'll say, at the Siege of Limerick, we'll say.
No, that wouldn't fly. Yeah. It flew a couple of years ago, but it wouldn't fly now.
Nah, not at all. And that's actually a really good point, that there's stuff that you get away with years ago, but it's fucking opposite now.
Yeah, Richie, you're a vintage man. You'd remember people spitting at gigs and stuff like that, like, you know.
Oh, I fucking hated it, man. Yeah, of course. Anthrax and the SFX was the worst. Well, was it the SFX? I can't remember.
There's a video of them playing in fucking, where is it? It's like OMA GAA Hall or whatever. And like, this is like, again, in the 80s, whenever bands used to just go into the interior.
Yeah, I remember hearing stories of like Nuclear Assault and Anthrax getting spat on in like, I think like the Top Hat in Dunleary.
Yeah.
They probably told them that it's what Irish people do, to like greet them like, oh, thank you.
Well, that was it. It was a sign of affection, so it was. And like, I think there was some other places like where people used to fire like fucking 50 P's at people, like getting fucking battered.
We were all broke back then. That's just a myth.
but that's what they used to do, was it? A trend where they just spat.
Yeah.
It's kind of hangover from like the punk thing, like, you know, back in the 70s. Like, it was like an English thing. And I guess I was reading your man from the Undertones book, and he said that, you know, they played Yuri back in the 70s and the Goblin was unreal, like, you know.
Yeah. The Goblin and Scott Ian, he was going fucking mental over it. Like,
what's a Grant? What's it? There's the whole Anthrax gig is on, it's on YouTube, isn't it, Richard?
I think
that
so.
That sounds so.
But like, that's what happened to Joe Strummer. Like, he got HIV because of some, like, he was singing a song and some fucking punk, crusty punk that had HIV fucking spat, and it went straight literally down Joe Strummer's fucking mouth.
Holy shit.
That happened to the guy out of Mind Funk as well. The guitar player, the bass player out of them got HIV or whatever.
God.
That's insane. I'd never heard that before in my
life. Yeah, I needed to know.
I'm sure you were like definitely at Metallica in Linkin Park in the RDS, where they got bottled out of at Linkin Park.
Oh, yeah. Oh, Lost Prophets and all, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah, Lost Prophets. I didn't see them. I have no interest in them anyway. But when I came in, I'd say Linkin Park had started, but you just couldn't see the band. There was so many fucking bottles.
Yeah, yeah. I think that was my first gig, or second metal gig or whatever. But I was fucking so young. I think I was like 11 or something then.
Class. Fucking played No Remorse that night, so they did.
Why not? I wasn't that. Was I? I don't know. Yeah, no, it was a Savage gig.
Yeah, I don't know, man. As the more gigs that I go to, the more I keep going, you have to fucking say somewhere sober. You know, try to fucking remember some fucking thing at this stage. And I just constantly fucking lose the plot and just get fucking demented and again, trying frantically then to remember the next day, and you're trying to look at your phone and go, yeah, okay, yeah, that's right. I remember that song.
I used to go to gigs like twice in a row, you know, like Judas Priest and Megadeth or like The Cult or someone. You go in Belfast and Dublin, and then you could get totally fucking ripped out of it at one of the gigs and then go to the next one and be able to remember a little bit of it.
Yeah.
That's a good strategy, Joe. I like that. You were supposed to play Cork, I think, was it maybe a year ago or 2 years ago, and that was pulled.
Yeah, that was pulled. Yeah, it was pulled last minute.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Who was on that bill again?
It was us, and I think Disposable were on as well, that band from Scotland.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, New Age.
It was a trash special, yeah.
Richie, do you remember Flatline?
From Flatline, yeah.
Yeah, they were great.
They were in Langley, too. You
know, your man, Dave Mustaine, dude. What's his name again? I can't remember. But
they were from
Cork, I believe. Like, and Flatline. Megadeth played. They did like a Megadeth covers set and stuff, Fred's.
Yeah.
We actually, like, he'd been about for ages. Don was the dude's name, and he had a big ginger Dave Mustaine hairdo and King V and stuff. We were all like,
yeah, they turned into Flatline then. because they stopped playing and turned into Langer 18.
Oh, right, okay.
Megadeth cover band.
That's right, yeah. I wouldn't know much about them, no, is the answer, because I was living in Dublin at that stage, so I was only coming down to Cork to see Megadeth.
Right, okay. I thought you were living.
Yeah, were they playing down the Marquee?
Yeah, Megadeth played the Marquee, yeah, and they came back then to Fred Zeppelin's, and someone insulted Mustaine or something anyway, outside Fred Zeppelin's, and he fucking lost the plot.
Your man Dom actually told me when they were playing, because they were playing the same night in Fred Zeppelin's, and he was saying that Dave Mustaine walked in and they were playing like Hangar 18 at the time. And
yeah,
it
was something like that, yeah.
And then he just turned around and walked out. So it's like, he's probably just like, God damn it.
Apparently he got Metallica out of it, like, you know what the crack is. It's like anywhere Dave goes, there's pissed lads being like, Metallica.
I think that could have been to it as well, yeah.
It's just like never non-ending, like, you know, fucking... We went to see them one time in, like, the Ambassador, and, like, we were hanging about. Domo lives up on Angel Street, and there's a couple of lads from Megadeth. It wasn't even fucking Mustaine, it was like... the Drover dudes or whatever were walking into the park, like, and those lads shouting Metallica at them and stuff. So.
Just wanted to go for a nice stroll and just get booked by it.
Gotta earn them Metallica royalties, man, like, you know.
This is a lot of, like, all these really killer bands getting back together. Like Dark Angel as well. Yeah.
Why do you think that is, lads?
I don't know, maybe just thrash is popular again, like.
Yeah, but again, is it just that
violence as well?
Yeah,
violence as well.
Is it just because I think a lot of it has to do is a lot of these lads wouldn't have been on social media back in the day, and a lot of them are on social media now. So fans have more access.
That's true.
To these band members,
and you can see the demand for, like, them getting back together as well. It's like it's actually a thing that fans, like, want to see happen. Like,
and people will start, like, looking back through, like, you know, if they start liking trash bands and stuff, they'll start looking back and be like, what other old trash bands were there back in the day, and maybe a fan following will start from that, like, you know.
Yeah. It is definitely very interesting insofar as that for the last 2 or 3 years, trash has definitely come back again.
Thankfully.
So, Joe, do you think you're riding on that wave? I know you always had a great established fan base anyway, but can you get to new fans through social media at this stage?
Yeah, probably. I think so. Like, we were looking at our YouTube demographics there the other day, and, like, a lot of our fans are people who were listening to the band back in the day, you know, so, like, our fans aren't people who are 18 and 19. Now they're, like, a lot more people in their 30s and shit like that, who were, like, 18 and 19, you know, 10 years ago kind of thing. So, like, I suppose that's the challenge for us, is, like, trying to get younger people and stuff into the band is kind of difficult. Because I think a lot of the people who have heard of Onslaught or those kind of bands probably know who we are, you know. Mm. It's probably like a younger generation of people who listen to, like, you know, bands like Havoc or Alien Weaponry, you know, who probably don't know who we are, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So it is difficult, but...
Yeah.
Indeed. Well, going back to talking about, like, Creator, I think one of the cool things that I love about Creator, and by... some extent Overkill as well, I think they're two kind of almost like legacy, and Testament actually as well, when I think about it. They're three, like, really old school bands that are still bringing out, like, thrash that's, like, really exciting and, like, really accessible and, like, really easy to get into.
Yeah.
And the production on their albums for the past maybe 5 or 6 years, it might be the same exact thing, but the music itself is still quality and it's still really easy to get into. I think it's the same with you guys as well, like, you're bringing out, like, that brand of thrash that's just, like, super accessible.
I think it's definitely, you know, Richie, you know what I'm talking about, you know, being an Overkill fan in the late 90s and up to about 2008 was probably a pretty shit time, you know, like, a lot of their albums were disappointing, and
yeah,
kind of see similar but less so with Testament and some other bands. So, like, it was really great to see a lot of those bands really, you know, come back at it massively, you know.
I think Overkill would be a great example of that, especially when Bobby left. you know, it was just like a fucking awful kind of.
I don't think he ever left, did he?
No, I don't think he did.
Oh, Bobby Gustafsson.
Oh, Bobby Gustafsson.
Yeah. For a second, I was like, no, what?
Yeah, no, Bobby Gustafsson, man. I fucking adored him. And then he left, and you're going, what the fuck?
What do you think he'd be like on this Violence album, though, man? That's pretty insane. Phil Demmel and him coming up with the riffs. Insane. That should be wicked.
I thought the cover of California Uberales was a bit.
Production was pretty shit. Look.
Lads, he fucking put out a techno song. Did you not? Let's talk about that.
Like in our like artist profile on Spotify, there's like another guy called Psychosis who has like a big techno song.
He's looking
I remember it was funny because I remember like when Claire Percival from Dead Label was making her Irish metal Spotify playlist. And when she got to us, she stuck in that song instead of one of our ones. And I was like, no, what are you doing?
Yeah, fuck's sake.
Yeah, I'll tell you a good one, actually, on Spotify there. I did on Mix there heading into Middleton today. I was fucking going to the dentist and what came on? Driller Killer. I just got a good laugh at that. Fuck's sake. But yeah, so... We'll write off 2020. Joe, you are releasing this year, are you?
Yeah, I've got an album coming out in December. Yeah.
Okay, that's cool.
Literally, fuck knows. We had like a tour in May or April and May, and it's been moved to September. But I don't know. Like I was talking to someone who's one of the organizers of like a big festival in Europe, and he was saying he thinks it's incredibly unlikely there'll be anything next year, you know.
Fans, lads, are you looking at next year, 2021, for an album in May, June, July?
Hopefully before then, to be honest.
Okay. Yeah.
I've just been fucking seriously busy with college and stuff like that, you know, so, and then with COVID as well. But hopefully, I was just saying to Tom there the other day that we should get back in January, so.
Where were you guys rehearsing in Dublin? Because it was the kind of thing where, like, absolutely everywhere of any use just disappeared nearly overnight, like, you know.
Yeah, no, pretty much. Where was the name of that place?
Where we were jamming in Dublin.
Yeah.
Troubadour. Oh, Troubadour was where we are now.
Yeah.
But the place in Smithfield, we got robbed of that place in Smithfield. I felt so bad for Rats. I felt so bad for him because that place was the best.
It was amazing, you know, and it was just like, it was just right so handy as well because it was right beside fucking, you know, right beside Voodoo and et cetera, et cetera. But like, it's one of them things like where you just have to go further and further out of town and it just gets more and more difficult really to get everyone together, you know, once you have to travel to rehearse, you know.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Now it is difficult, but like, we try to do it as much as possible, like, you know.
Yeah.
Do you think you're going to look at doing a video as well next year?
Yeah, definitely. There's definitely talks of doing a video. I don't know for what song, we're kind of hemming and hawing, but it'll be a good one anyway. We have a guy from Bray, a guy who grew up with Oisín McFarlane-Smith. He's incredible with photography and stuff, and he's real eager to do it as well. So
That's another great positive about the Irish scene as well. Like, there's so much fucking great guys out there that you can turn to, and Olga as well.
Oh yeah, Olga and Alan.
He's fantastic as well, man. There's a great choice for bands to get guys and girls in to fucking do your video, man. It's great.
Yeah.
So have you guys been finding coming up Nordy then? Like up north? compared to gigs in Dublin or gigs in Cork and stuff like that.
What was our last gig in Lisburn, was it?
I think our last one in Bell up north was like I think it was like we played Voodoo, I think, with Scimitar, the Necrofest.
Yeah.
Like, I think that one as well, did it?
I think they did.
They kind of just pop up every now and again, like, you know what I mean? It's not constant. We play up there maybe like one a year or something.
Not really the same kind of scene. Like, I think it's just because, like, Scimitar at the minute are really the only kind of band up there doing it full time. So it is, it's kind of difficult to sort of. There isn't really a thrash scene, like, and I guess in Dublin there's not really too many at the minute either, really, is there? Like, who's gigging about at the moment?
Crossfire.
Crossfire.
are really well, are really good. Well, Snowblind, they're not trash, but like,
yeah,
they're incredible. They're really good. Animator.
So else? Animator and Snowblind, they're not from Dublin, though, are they? Like, Animator from down the country in Wexford, is it?
Wexford, Waterford, yeah.
Is it, or Wexford?
Snowblind are all from Dublin, yeah.
Oh, are they? Okay.
Yeah, yeah. But yeah, there's not that much, to be honest. Who's that band who just came back? They had Eat, Sleep, Slave, Repeat.
Oh, Twisted Autocracy.
Oh, really? Twisted Autocracy, yeah. They're still going.
Okay. Because there used to be, like, around the time that they started out, there was a few other bands. Like, whenever you guys did your first albums, like, Atomated and a couple of other bands, wasn't there?
Yeah, there was, like, Eden Fire and stuff. Yeah, there's lows, man, but, like...
Slaughter are still going as well. Like, we're still doing our thing, like... So,
yeah, but it's not as many as years ago, and... It's kind of a shame, and I was only saying, like, there's no, like, underage gigs or anything going on anymore, even for, like, big bands coming over, like, you know, Exodus or whatever. But the fact that there isn't young bands kind of playing smaller gigs and stuff like that, there's not going to be much coming onto the, you know, Amphibers or whatever like that, you know what I mean? So it's a real shame.
Is that where you guys cut your teeth? Like, whenever you guys were, like, you started out pretty young, didn't you? Well, yeah. Like, you're 16. Is that where you started doing all your gigs and youth centers and stuff in town, or around the?
Yeah, around our areas, it was like youth centers or like parochial halls or like school halls and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And there's a really big scene back there. It was the only thing we did on Saturdays or Fridays or whatever like that. You know, and everybody looked forward to it and came to those shows.
Yeah.
But like, there's not one going around anymore. I can't even see, like, do you ever walk through town? You see like a bundle of like hippies or fucking metalheads and things like that, goths and all, but like you just don't see it anymore.
The days of the central bank are over, man. The bank, like, I'm the skier. So what was the deal then? Like, you guys started doing all that kind of stuff, and it was the original four of you who did like Toxic Fugitive and stuff. Was that just like one tune, or was that, because that was on like the one song on your MySpace and stuff for a while, wasn't it?
Yeah, we did three songs. We did Terror 3 AM and Bonestorm as well. Okay. And we kind of just sat on that for like fucking years. Like, I'm pretty sure
you guys sent it to us in whatever it was, 2010, or was that like 2009, or when was that?
Yeah, 2008 or 2009 or something. And I remember like fucking, we sat on that for like 6 years. We played Bloodstock before you, like with that album and our live show.
To that.
Yeah, like I think we only brought the album out in like September 2016 or something, like, you know. Or no, fuck them, what was it? Welcome to the Psycho Ward.
That was 2016, yeah.
Yeah. What was before Nuclear Assault, was it? No? I thought it was.
Was it? I think it was, yeah.
By the time we brought the album out, we played Bloodstock twice.
Yeah. and Metal Days, yeah.
So. And Metal Days.
Yeah. So it doesn't take an album to kind of get you
anywhere. Yeah, I mean... Metal to the Masses were, you know, you really excelled in that, and a lot of bands have come through that and have gone on to better things as well. You know, it's really important to have that there for bands.
It seems like the only kind of gig, though, going at the moment.
Yeah, well, that's the kind of thing I don't like about it. It's just like I think it's cool, like, definitely getting bands like that together, but like, and the competitiveness can help, but I just generally don't think that battles of the bands is the ways to kind of, because for sure it can help you get to Bloodstock, but like it is better to try and network with other bands and stuff like that, you know.
Both, like, you know, definitely.
Kind of oversaturates it sometimes, but like it is a great organization, like anybody who wants to kind of push their career forward. But I suppose, like, sort of the before, I don't know, it was a lot more organic or something. Did you feel that?
I think it's definitely been a great thing for young bands and stuff, but I think that, like, if bands have an over-reliance on it in a way that, like they'll be like, okay, we've got to England to do that, and it makes it more difficult to then start saying, right, okay, we're going to go and start playing to, like, 10 people and fucking Wrexham and all that kind of horrible shit, like, you know. But like, I think that's like all that networking becomes super important whenever all of a sudden you need floors to sleep on and all that kind of stuff, you know.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Like, Gary DeBarrow or something like that. Yeah,
the first time you got the bloodstock, you had to be conscious of the fact that networking over in bloodstock would have been a big thing.
Psychosis are one of the bands I've seen really fucking killing it at that, in terms of like giving people free beer and stuff and walking around with a big fucking sign saying, come to the tent and watch us, you know?
Yeah.
That's like how you fill the tent up, you know?
Yeah, so, like, you recognized the opportunity and grabbed it with both hands. But I mean, again, because you got there the first time, you know, Simon Hall was definitely really impressed with you, the fact that you got back a second time and played the Sophie.
That's it, yeah. No, yeah. We weren't going to waste an opportunity like that, you know, at the start. So we kind of fucking just ran at it with everything we had, and we're just like fucking shooting ideas left and right.
We really played it safe that gig as well, because we decided not to play any like anything that we were writing at the time. We were just like, okay, we're better off just like playing the shit that we know we're fucking spot on with. Like,
But it's a shame that there's just only, we'd say, one or two opportunities for bands like that to get over there, if they're, as you said, Joe, they're over relying on it as well, you know. But
even if you look at Dead Label, like Dead Label got to the finals 2014, and then we won it that year, and then 2015 they ended up playing the second stage.
Yeah, I was at it. It's fucking awesome. Yeah, and just
nothing you can't, like, it's like whether you win or lose, it doesn't hinge. Like, you playing Bloodstock doesn't necessarily hinge on whether you win. You can still get there without actually having, like, you know, great. Like,
I
don't think there's as many gigs anymore as well, because all the venues that were like not just Fibbers, but like they're just fucking closing down, and Fibbers is the only reliant one that we can go to now, you know.
It's like Cork with Fred's. That's all we have.
Yeah.
You know, there will be a few other places that will just, you know, that Drop Dead Fred as well in Dublin. There'll be other places as well that will host gigs, but they're maybe once a month or maybe once every 2 or 3 months.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, because that's what Voodoo is, really. They didn't do gigs in Voodoo for about 4 or 5 years. It was a break and then it came back, but it's just once a month, and then kick everybody out at 11 so they can have a disco kind of thing.
Yeah.
So many times, Joe. So many times. The last one being pushed out the door, man. Protesting. Okay, lads. I'm going to call a halt to it. It's been great having you all on, man. It's great to fucking finally get to chat with Psychosis.
So thanks, Tom, for having us, man.
Grant, man. Thank much you. Appreciated. And Joe, you'll have to agree, the new fucking song is fucking class.
It is, man. And like, new album for you guys. Definitely a lot of excellent expectations. It's going to be great, and hopefully we'll be able to do some gigs next year.
Yeah, you've set the bar very high, lads. You've set the bar very high. And Joe, again, man, I'm fucking buying that Christmas jumper. Looking forward so much to the album in December. Cannot wait for that. That'll definitely alleviate some of the pain of not seeing live gigs anyway, you know.
Yeah, it's going to be fucking tough, but what do we do, man? We'll just have to fucking, we're gonna just hang out.
It's great that you're fucking giving us your music, man. I know it's an obvious thing not to fucking release it, but at least you are, and who knows, there could be a second Gamma Bomb album in 2021, man, and how bad.
I don't even want to think about writing another fucking album.
Okay, so you've been listening to Richie on the Metal Cell podcast. Hit that subscribe button if you like the show, and thanks again, lads, for coming on the show. Thank you.
Cheers, man.
See you, boy.
Cheers, Richie.